Well, let's get out our Bibles tonight. If you have it with you, I have a very short message. Let's see if I can break the record for the Ne'ilah service and how short I can be. But I probably won't break that record. But anyway, yes, just really quickly, Or Chadash is an amazing congregation and synagogue over on the other side of Florida. Rabbi John Fisher, past president of the UMJC. He's been involved in the Messianic Judaism for over 40 years. Or Chadash was one of the first congregations that I can think of. So we if you feel led to bless them, they're wonderful people, wonderful congregation. Now, we're going to be talking tonight about this festive holiday. You know, we've been going through the different holidays here in the fall, and this one is always special because it's very joyous. And I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to talk about Sukkot tonight. It's also called the Feast of Tabernacles. You may know it by that name. It's also called the Feast of Booths. It's one of the Shalosh Regalim. It's one of the three pilgrimage festivals that historically Jewish men would go up to Jerusalem, would make Aliyah and go up to Jerusalem and celebrate those holidays, including Sukkot, is one of the three, in Jerusalem. So Jewish people from all over the world would be there. It would be very festive. And I just want to start off by reading in the Torah from the book of Leviticus chapter 23, where we get all of the holidays. We can read about this wonderful holiday in the Torah. And Jewish people have been celebrating Sukkot for thousands of years. And so we continue that tradition tonight. Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month, and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation, you shall do no ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, you shall do no ordinary work." Tonight, we're actually here as the sun sets on the second night of Sukkot, but it's a joyous holiday for the entirety of the 8 days, and tonight I want to very quickly touch on some themes of Sukkot. You know, with every holiday that we have, it's much more than just a, hey, let's get together and party and eat, although that's always good. But there's a couple of major themes of Sukkot that I want to talk about, and I want to also talk about a messianic theme or fulfillment of the holiday. The first theme we have, you can turn to Psalm 118. We sang it tonight, Psalm 118. And this first theme is harvest. This is a harvest holiday. This is all about the fall harvest. Sukkot comes at the end of the fall holidays. It comes at the end of the harvest season, historically, where people would gather the fruits of all of their labors for the entire season. And as I said, it's a joyous holiday. And during this holiday, we sang it tonight, Psalm 118. I'll just read the first four verses. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his chesed, his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever." And of course, in Hebrew, that's Hodu L'Adonai Ki Tov. We sang that tonight. Beautiful song. During this time of harvest, we have this whole harvest theme, and we have the four species. And I've got my props here tonight. I'm going to quickly bring it over. And you can see we have these things called the willow and the etrog and all of these things. I want to very, very quickly go through this. The lulav is the palm branch that we have. The arava is the willow, the hadas is the myrtle, and the etrog, this right here, is the citron. Has anybody ever eaten a citron before? I've never eaten one. Smells great. But you wave these during Sukkot, and it symbolizes us waving our worship to God, waving our lives to God. The lulav symbolizes a human spine. The willow symbolizes lips. These are these kind of long. If you turn it to the side, it looks like a lip. The myrtle symbolizes and looks like an eye, symbolizes our eye. And the etrog symbolizes our heart. So with all of our being, we celebrate God. We rejoice. We thank God for bringing us to this special, joyous season. And we worship Him. We sing, give thanks to God, for He is good and His love endures forever. Now, second major theme of Sukkot is that we dwell in booths, or we dwell in these sukkahs, these temporary structures. It's done as a memorial of the wilderness experience that our people had in the desert for 40 years. You know, the Exodus experience as they came out of Egypt. And Sukkot, the word Sukkot actually means habitation. It means dwelling or habitation, where God dwelt with His people for 40 years in the wilderness. And we know, and this symbolizes a lot of symbolism, symbolizes as we go through our temporary structure of living in this world before we go to eternity, we live in this world in a temporary fashion, maybe 80, 90, 100, maybe if you're lucky, 110 years, 120 years maybe, who knows? But as we are here temporarily, we're reminded of how life is fragile and how we dwell in this world for a short time, as I said, before we go to eternity. The sukkah, and many of you saw our congregational sukkah tonight. I know online you can't see it. We don't have a good way to get the camera there, but we have our sukkah, and it was put up by a wonderful group of people, and it's supposed to be a temporary structure. It's not supposed to be a permanent structure. It's supposed to be something that sort of just lasts for the week. It's flimsy. It's built outside. It has to have at least three walls. You could technically technically erect it against a wall or of a house or a home, but it has to have at least three walls. It can be of any material. But here's the kicker. You have to have the top of it, the ceiling or the roof open so you can see the stars. It doesn't have to be fully open, but it has to be open enough to where you can look through and you can see the stars. Children are encouraged to come and decorate the sukkah. Many people bring all over the world fruit or other festive things. I was just talking to somebody, and up north you can bring fresh fruits and put it in your sukkah. That won't last very long here in Florida, right? So we have fake fruit. You know, fake fruit's nice too. So we decorate it with fake fruit and for wonderful different decorations, and it's supposed to be festive and wonderful. And many of you may have gone by or had a meal in the sukkah. I encourage you during the week, you can come anytime, have lunch in the sukkah, have dinner in the sukkah. So eat a meal together. It's supposed to be together, connecting, fellowshipping with each other. You don't have to come in during the office hours. You can just come in any time. But if you are here during next week, during the office hours, you can come and say hello to Cindy in the office, and we will have our copy of the willow and the etrog and everything, and you can go and you can wave it in the sukkah, which traditionally during the day you go and you wave it, and you say, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki le'olam va'ed. Thank you. And so there's this idea of dwelling together, dwelling in this temporary structure that we have for just a week every year. Now, the last thing I want to talk about briefly during Sukkot is this is also a messianic holiday. Seems like every one of our holidays are messianic, but it is messianic and it is prophetic. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 14. In the Gospel of John, in the first chapter of John, we read about Yeshua's birth. We read about how Yeshua came down from heaven, took on human form. And John 1:14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Yeshua, our Messiah, came to this world and He literally came down and dwelt among humans, dwelt among us for a time. We know He was born, He lived, and He ministered in Israel and dwelt among His people. And we can celebrate tonight that we have Yeshua in our lives. Those of us that have accepted Yeshua, that have Him as our Messiah, we can rejoice during this season of our rejoicing to know that He is with us. He dwells with us, which is part of that second theme of Sukkot, dwelling, right? And as far as the first theme of harvest, we know there's a prophetic element of Sukkot. There's a gathering of God's people on Sukkot, prophetically, where Yeshua will come back a second time and he will rule and reign in Jerusalem. I want you to turn, last scripture tonight, to the book of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 16. Sukkot is the only holiday listed in the Bible where prophetically it says all the nations will go up to Jerusalem. Let's read that. Zechariah 14, 16. Then everyone who survives of all the nations that have come against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Booths, which is the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And as I said, this is the only prophetic scripture that talks about in the future all of the nations. We don't know if all the nations will celebrate all the holidays and go up to Jerusalem, but certainly according to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, during Sukkot, during this major holiday, all the nations will go up. And that's our biblical reference for that. So to conclude, as we celebrate this holiday, let's think about these themes this week. Think about God's harvest that we've been sowing and you know, doing all of the work all season, and now we're reaping during this season. We're rejoicing. We're fellowshipping together, and we know, especially after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we know we're written in the book of life, those of us that have accepted Yeshua, and now we can rejoice. It's called the season of our rejoicing, as we said earlier. And also, dwelling. God is dwelling with us. That is certainly something to give thanks for. So, with all the heaviness that's going on in the world, with all the heaviness that's going on in Israel these days, let's take this holiday of Sukkot and let's pause and think about the joy that we have in the Lord. I want to pray tonight as we close. Lord, we thank you, God of Israel, because this has been an extremely tough year in many ways. And Lord, we've just gone through beating our chest during Yom Kippur, remembering all the ways that we have forgotten about you, Lord, and we have treated you and other people with contempt. And Lord, as we start afresh, as we're about to roll the Torah back in a week during Simchat Torah, help us to rejoice tonight to know, Lord God, that we're written in the book of life. Help us to rejoice and know tonight that you are dwelling with us, Lord, that you're with us. And Lord, help us to look prophetically to that great harvest one day when all the world will know and every knee shall bow, every tongue confess about you, Yeshua. We thank you, God, and we rejoice tonight in you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.